Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
We've had Sean Keeler on the show before, hell of a columnist for the Denver Post. And he's written a column about Deion, Colorado, the transfer portal, Carmoni McClain, and Alton McCaskill, etc. And then there was on his Twitter feed some funny stuff because people said the lead of the day, as in the lead part of his story of the day, for a cat with a private jet, Deion sure seems to lose a lot of his luggage. Sean joins us, Craig Smoke, Paul Catalina. Paul's out today. Craig Smoke, David Smoke on 365 Sports. What has been the reaction to your column today, sir?
Oh, I've been banned from Boulder, but that's nothing new. No, I think it depends on which colors are in your closet, so to speak. Look, there are some uncomfortable truths, and we haven't talked about this at length on air. It was always going to be kind of a good, but, you know, mixed bag when you hire Deion Sanders. You got to take the this and you got to take the that. And the uncomfortable truths about Coach Prime are what make people uncomfortable, but that doesn't make them any less true, and it doesn't make them any less problematic. Now, it also doesn't mean it's a terrible hire. It just means that you're going to get the downside with the blood contract you signed, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean, you point out all the numbers of the incoming and now the outgoing, and some of that is overlapping in the double digits now as well. I mean, Alton McCaskill was a guy that was a big get at the time, knew he had the injury, but now we've heard from him, his father at least, and he's back in the portal. Just kind of how are people digesting the turnover, and when is it going to get to a point where the door doesn't seem to always be open and you kind of settle into having a team that you can build up?
Oh, I don't think the door ever shuts. I mean, this is not a door on two hinges. It's a revolving door to Macy's. I mean, it just comes and goes. You know what I mean? I mean, it just never ends. The line, and this is the line from Deion yesterday when I asked him about it, and he was professional about it. I give him, and by the way, I give him lots of credit for that. Deion Sanders has been nothing but professional to me. Now, that may change. And if they're 1-3, which I don't think they'll be, that would certainly change. But I want to say that up front, and that I certainly appreciate that as a professional to another, and not always gracious, at least always courteous to a point. So that's fine. But I think their line is, well, this goes on everywhere. And this was the thing I wanted to dig into in the column you guys are referencing from yesterday. And I thought, well, you know, is it? I mean, yeah, there's Houston. There's 11. And this is at a BSD afternoon. Okay, Iowa State, there's, you know, it's Ames. There's 2. Okie State, there's 1. KU, there's 1. You know, Manhattan, nothing's going on there. Well, that's none. Baylor, none. You know, you see where we're going with this. Let's just add up the 16 Big 12 schools for this fall. Let's see what the count is as of yesterday. And I believe CU had 15. It's up to 16 now. They had 15, and the rest of the league had 44 among the other 15 schools. So it's about 3. And if you take out Houston, it's about 2. So, yeah, when you've got 16 of them, you've got something different going on there. You're not – it's not just everybody. No, it's largely you, because this is how you do it. This is the only way you know to cycle things out. And I just don't think – this is really the most uncomfortable truth besides whatever future NCAA violations are coming, and they are coming – is that it's not sustainable. Is it? You tell me, is any of this sustainable from an outsider's perspective,
you know,
at Colorado? You have the revolving door all the time.
We mentioned this too, because Texas State, just south of here, who upset Baylor to start the year last year, mm-hmm. they have a new coach, G.J. Kenny, came in, and they had like 50-plus players or 60 players. But you wonder eventually, because if you are bringing them in to replace players who are not as good, but then they're also the same ones leaving, or a chunk of them are you making the wrong personnel decisions? Is that kind of also what you're saying?
Yeah, and also the argument, for every argument they make in their defense, there's a counter. And that is, they say, well, these were bench guys. Oh, McCaskill wasn't going to play. Cormani McClain wasn't going to play. Well, no, yes, he was. That's a bold-faced lie for one. Now, McClain did not have a good freshman. McClain had freshman issue problems, mm-hmm. to put it kindly.
Yep.
And that was not an uncommon story. The freshmen that don't handle the transition well don't often stay even before the portal. This is the case where kids just sometimes don't make it work the first time they're at. But what you have done with all this turnover, and you saw it last year, was it 70 out, 70 in, something crazy like that, is the depth. Guys get hurt, don't they? Yeah, they do. Last we checked, it's a pretty physical game. The Pac-12 was extremely physical. The Big 12 is going to be even more so, never mind the travel. You need bodies. You need a 2-deep. And Deion Sanders' fundamental roster-building problem with his method is just the way he looks at life, just the way he looks at his children, just the way he looks at everything, and bless him for it. It's gotten him this far. You know, I chip my cap. Only one of us in the room is rich and handsome, and it's not me. He sees everything in the world from the top down, everything, and everything in the world is from a glass half full perspective. I think the Buffs are more than half. I don't think they're quite full yet, but he never sees the bottom of the depth chart in life or his football program. And it bit them last year. And if they don't shore that up with, if they think they're going to run out these 16 to 20, and it'll be 20 by the time the spring ball is done and the portal closes, if you're going to take out 20 and add 20, unless that 20 is significantly better than the 20 you have, you're going to have the same problem, because even if they are comparable, you've just lost 4 months of prep and development time, haven't you? You can't just run them in there and say, you got a summer to figure this out. But that's what they do, and they're going to ride or die with that.
How has it been taken, Shador and Shiloh, basically being the personnel guys in some way, the way that, that Instagram message came across the other day. How's that been digested?
It's good X fodder. I think it's a non-story because that's been going on forever. I mean, we just have platforms. These guys are celebrities themselves, and they're justifiably good players. Shadur, very good. Shiloh, also good. They're the stars of this thing. And frankly, here's the other, it's not even an uncomfortable truth, it's just reality. Those two guys are running this program. If you want to, there's your headline, boys.
Yeah.
If you want to stick it with the Buffs, if Shadur doesn't like you and Shiloh doesn't like you, you're gone. And we've seen who's gone, both personnel and coaches, mm-hmm. haven't we?
Yeah.
You can kind of do the math from there, and that's not a great secret, and that's not, you know, Tila blowing the whistle on something. Those are the guys who are calling the shots. But I think where that comes to me, oh, I can't believe players are going Instagram recruit guys. No, I think they've always done that. I agree with Deion 65-70% of the time. He's right on the money. It's the other 30 where I'm just like, whoa, come on, man. Come on. Back from Mars here. Let's get to reality. But in that case, yeah, players recruit players. Players are your best recruiters. Players to peers are your best salesmen, and that's always been the case. These just happen to be really high profile, very confident, and very talented salesmen in that regard. And because they're public guys, and because it's all me all the time, that tends to get more run. I don't think the players recruiting players is much of a story as we're losing 20 guys in 2 weeks. That's much more of a story to me.
So, and they'll probably add 15 or 20 here in the next couple of weeks.
Right? They'll fill them up.
When you mentioned if they don't like you, is that what happened to Sean Lewis? Because the offense was not the – now, the offensive line was a struggle, and a lot of them have transferred. But was the Sean Lewis decision
they've
because
they've all transferred. Yeah. They're all gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those picking them up, they're like, wait a minute, we heard about how bad their offensive line was, but was the Sean Lewis demotion, was that Shadur?
It was in part. There were a lot of factors, and not all of which I can get into comfortably over the air, so to speak, and on the record, so to speak. But you can do the math, and you can do the math on both sides of the ball. Mm. And they'll deny it. They'll deny it angrily. But here's the other thing about the Sanders family. It's going to sound like a very famous political family. We're not going to get into that, but I'll just tell you, you probably know where you could go with this. The stronger they deny something, the more they accuse you of something, the more likely they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Wise words there, wise words. I mean, you've kind of already intimated it with the guys who have been out, but to see Alton McCaskill in the portal, Sean, after really not a whole lot of anything. I mean, he had the injury that he was coming back from, but then obviously his father's now become outspoken. I don't know. I guess you've kind of already answered that, like I said, but are they just – is it Dylan Edwards? And kind of what does that room look like now at this point for them moving forward?
Well, they had like seven guys. I mean, it was crazy deep at this time last year, and it's still pretty deep. They've got the bodies. They've got the skill guys to kind of make that work, but the question is how, you know, the trouble with that is you've only got, we thought about this during preseason camp last year. We're like, who is going to get all these carries? Because Shadur's the kid, and he's a very good QB and an NFL QB. Don't get me wrong. We're like, they're going to throw the ball 50 times. And yeah, they're going to run 80 plays with Sean Lewis's offense, but this is the Shadur show. This is not the smoke tour. This is not the Alton McCaskill show. And it was the Dylan Edwards show in Dallas, or Fort Worth, rather, for that TCU game. But then it stopped being that pretty quick. I think the question is just having enough carries. It's not having enough talent. Dylan Edwards could play anywhere and play right away from day one. I think it's just a matter of how they want to orient the offense, because it's not about him.
Yeah,
we know who it's about. So they're, you know, you have to be able to block. You have to be able to catch for Shadur, and you got to be able to block for Shadur. And that would be true of anybody who's a frontline, you know, top 10 pick kind of QB in there. So that's their priority. And I think the tailbacks come in here have to realize that too. And Alton McCaskill had playing time frustrations. There were some stuff, but again, the stories were very, as I said in the column, it was very nebulous, as all things are, because I mean, let's be honest, the Sanders ship, it's kind of a closed circle. You're like, yeah, but they've got four YouTube feeds. Yes, but that's your only source. Is you get it from the state media.
So it's like state TV, yeah.
Yeah, you get it from
sounds
state
like
TV.
A
you're
like
not
a,
allowed in the circle of trust. And people in this market, Denver media has had to, well, some media and some fan media has paid for access to that inner circle, and obviously most of the outlets will not, and we certainly won't. And so we're outside the circle a little bit.
So tell me the truth, Sean, because it got to play. The opening lead line, as we mentioned, for a cat with a private jet, Deion Sanders sure seems to lose a lot of luggage. When did you come up with that? Did you, I mean, how did that come about, and how long before you went, damn, that's pretty good?
The good Lord occasionally throws an acorn to a blind squirrel. You know, that literally is one of those where you're just laughing. I don't want Deion to go. He's great for business. Hey, he's been great for business for CU's, great for business for us. But he's so quick on stuff, and his catchphrases are so fun that you kind of right through. I just thought, oh, I was playing around with kind of a lost luggage idea, and I laughed because I went back to the Louis Vuitton thing. That's a play on. I'm bringing my luggage, and it's Louis.
Mm-hmm.
God dang, dude, you've already thrown out 6 pieces. I mean, it's just the image of him playing, here's my Louis luggage. And he just went, yeah, nah. And in a way, literally, that's probably what Deion does with luggage. He's just, you know, that's his world. Again,
it's like a Spirit
Airlines
flight.
When we're in that
room,
man, he doesn't fly coach. So I laugh. And here's a guy with a private plane and keeps losing his Louis luggage. It's kind of a thing. So we were having some fun with that. But, you know, again, to his credit, he's got the bank account and smile, and I got a bald head and nothing. So God bless.
So I know the spring game's a week away. Obviously, the headlines right now is all this attrition and just like who's going to fill these roles and how's this going to work. You do, though, have, you know, Shiloh and Shador back. Travis Hunter back. I mean, what's kind of the football talk outside of the roster itself as they've maneuvered through spring drills? And now, Sean, get ready to go join a brand new conference.
We're home again.
Yeah,
aren't we, guys?
I mean, they're back. Plant that Louis luggage right on the front porch where they used to live. But yeah, what's kind of the feel and the sense about just the team in general as it makes this transition?
I think there's still, if the hype last year was 11 out of 10 from fan excitement, it's still a 9.8. Here's the fact that has not been written about. I don't think I've seen it written about a lot because the attrition has kind of taken all the headlines, and that is spring game's not sold out yet, or it wasn't sold out as of yesterday. That surprised me. I think it'll get there. But so, yeah, 9.4. Like we're still in the A range. We're still really high into it. But yeah, the last 2 months kind of stuck with people. Okay. You know, you can talk a good game even in Denver for only so long before the city goes, all right, where is it? Where is it? And when they had it, especially beating, you know, drubbing Nebraska, I think people were just really rolling with that. And then it just kind of, to the average kind of bandwagon fan, it kind of fell away here hard, but they're still pretty strong. They'll get there. If they don't sell out, they'll be awfully close. They'll say it's a sellout. I'm shocked they didn't admit that said that it wasn't, given that everything's fine, everything's great, kind of Chip Diller way that Prime kind of approaches everything. But I think they'll get there. That's obviously going to be kind of a talent show Thursday. I mean, you know what they're doing here, right? It's like a festival. It's like Coachella speaking out loud. It's Coachella. It's Coachella. I'm literally writing this on the notebook now so I don't forget it because I'm old. It's Coachella. I should get that copyrighted before Deion takes that and runs them. Because he has all his phrases copyrighted, by the way. He'll probably get me on that. But they're doing a festival with a talent show on a Thursday. The typical fundraising dinners on a Friday. They'll have the game on Saturday morning. And I think it's on Pac-12 Network, which means none of you will be able to see it.
Yeah.
And that cracked me up because I'm like, so will that be the last thing the Pac-12 Network shows?
It might save the conference. It might be so good that it saves the conference, right?
It'll get the 15,000 people out there who can still get it have to go find it. And the rest of the world has to chase. Everyone in Texas is chasing this thing down. Like, is this still a thing? Yeah, it's still a thing until like June 30th, as far as we know. So it's going to be on Pac-12 Network. And then the coup de grace, there will be the Lil Wayne show at CU Event Center on Saturday night, right after the game. So I imagine he'll be a part of the game as well. It will probably be some other stuff. I know Snoop Dogg's company is bringing their vodka because their PR folks keep sending me the emails, and I'm like, oh, I am going to miss this when it ends. I'm like, I don't. They're not bringing Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg for Carl Durrell. I'm sorry.
They're not. You. I know you got other things to write. One more thing on Dion. Have you been? I love listening to him. Whether or not.
Oh yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I listened to whatever things he said this week. Have you been pleasantly surprised about how, though, he has his thumb on those players when it comes to doing things right, in doing whatever a team needs to do and punishing the team whenever they don't? I mean, has that been kind of a breath of fresh air?
I will say this. There is a standard, and there is a strong standard. Let me give you an example real quick. On the board, and I didn't get into this in the column, but we are going to circle back to this. There was written on the board in the meeting room, I presume left over from a meeting where we had the press conference yesterday, of basically the eternal verities where it said, be early to be on time. No hoodies, I'm paraphrasing, no chains, no this. It's about us and the ball, protect the ball, call your mama. But these are things written on the board when we walk in there. I think these are genuine, mm-hmm. absolute principles. And to, again, in their defense, there haven't been a lot of, for whatever reason, and people have looked into this, there haven't been a lot of, for lack of a better word, inter-campus incidents as of yet. There have been apples that have been bad, have been weeded out. And they've been weeded out pretty quickly. And that hasn't been as an uncomfortable thing as people wondered if it might be in Boulder. So that's to their credit. Now, again, the night is long and we'll see. So I think some of the discipline is espoused and is genuine from the part of the coaching staff, and certainly from the part of Dion. I think that part of his FSU background is legit. I think that's passed over and down, and I think that discipline is important. They didn't always train. They were one of the most penalized teams in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
They didn't turn. Shador didn't turn it over, but you know the sacks and the occasional fumbles were a story into themselves. They weren't crazy disciplined, in spite of having so much better talent than the year before. I don't think all that translates. And then the downside of that, again, that for everything great about having Dion here, there's always another side to it. And that is, and this isn't untrue at a lot of other places, but it was really noticeable where the strike zone was for the chosen ones, as they're kind of known, and Dion's leadership council versus everyone else. And I think the everyone else on the Buffs roster got a little tired of it. And I think that's fairly well documented with those who are no longer here. And that's not unusual at programs everywhere, but man, that strike, there are several strike zones within the CU Buffs program. And I think the kids that need to follow it generally followed it pretty well. Those who can't aren't here either because they got frustrated by those who didn't have to follow the strike zone or because they simply couldn't follow it. And that speaks to some of the attrition too.
It's a great column. Well-written. Sean, great stuff. Appreciate your time today. Good luck with all the other columns you're about to write.
Yeah.
Sean Keeler, the Denver Post. Thank you, sir, for your time. That's a great segment with him. He's really good. And the lead to that story and also all of what he's mentioned.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.